God's grace and His peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text, as we will take it, is coming from our epistle reading from 2 Peter. But before we get into that text, let's just sort of set the stage. Today we celebrate the last Sunday of the church year. And in that Sunday, we remember that, yes, Jesus Christ is coming again. And that's where Peter in our text is trying to encourage those who believe and trust in Jesus Christ to hang on to that faith. Because I guess even during the time of Peter, there were some who were thinking, how long is it going to be before the Lord comes back? You know, in one essence, I almost have to smile as I say that. Because you got to figure during the generation of Peter, that might have been, what, about 10, 15, 20 years after the Lord rose from the dead and said He is coming back, and they're asking, when? We've now been waiting 2,000 years since Peter wrote those words, and we're still asking the same question, when is the Lord going to come back? Well, let me first of all talk about two ways in which the Lord will come back. In one essence, we talk about that final time when our Lord will come back in all His glory. At that time, He will separate the sheep from the goats, those who believe and trust in Him for the forgiveness of sins, and then those who don't. At that time, all life will sort of be really changed. However, that's a particular point. Sometime in the future, when that future point is, we don't know. But however, there is another particular point. Again, we don't know in time. The moment when our own bodies will expire. The moment of our death. Because at the moment of our death, the next thing that we will know will be that second triumphal coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. So there are sort of two points that we're talking about. Unfortunately, the answer to both those points are, we don't know when that time and hour will be. So, getting back to the hot concept, when will our Lord come? When do we have to get ready? We don't know when the Lord will come. The time to get ready is now. So Peter, in talking to the believers, says, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. In that last line, Peter gives us a little bit of an inkling when that time will be. The Lord is basically holding off for a chance for everyone to believe. Everyone to come to repentance. When will that day actually be? Again, we don't know. But he gives us a clue. The reason why he's waiting is he wants more people to be with him in the kingdom of heaven. And this isn't bad. God wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. So as we pick up on that last phrase of that sentence, come to repentance, we have to sort of unpack it. And say, what does it mean to come to repentance? What does it mean to be prepared for our Lord's second coming? Well, let's take a look at those words a little bit closer. First of all, repentance is nothing more than turning around. It's sort of a backpedaling. Basically, the way that we were going is the way of sin, the way of death, the way away from our Lord. Repentance is that turning around. That coming back to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, confessing our sins, confessing that, yes, we've fallen short of God's glory, and to be drawn closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I just want to pick up for a moment on the word come to, as it's sort of translated in our text for today. Come to, going back to the Greek word, because these words were initially written in Greek, has another nuance to it, which I want to sort of pick up for today. Come to means really to make room for. So the proper way of sort of translating this would be to make room for repentance. But we usually don't talk like that, so that's why the translators decided to translate it as come to repentance. But to humor me for right now, and you might have an idea where I'm going with this, with the title of this message, Cleaning Your Closet. You see, I don't know about you, but my closet is not perfectly clean. It's always the catch-all place for certain things I need to get out of the way. It's a place to store a lot of things. And I will admit, you know, most people don't see my closet. So if we have guests and visitors coming over to the house, the first thing I don't show them is the closet. Quite the opposite. I usually keep the closet doors closed for a reason. There's only once in my life that I ever saw the perfect closet, so to speak. You know, the perfect clean and empty closet? If any of you have ever been looking for a builder to build a home and you have those model homes that are beautifully decorated on the inside and you go to the closet and you see what's in the closet, absolutely nothing. But do people live like that? The answer is no. There's got to be stuff in our closet. Well, for today, we're going to talk about our spiritual closet, our soul, so to speak. There is something in there, but is it the right stuff or is it the wrong stuff? Here, in connecting with our text, Peter is going to be encouraging us to make room for repentance, to get rid of the junk, to get rid of the wrong stuff in our spiritual closet, and to make room for the right stuff in our spiritual closet. So let's first of all talk about the wrong stuff in our spiritual closets. To pick up on another cliche that we like to use, have you ever heard the phrase or the cliche, the skeletons in your closet? You know, those sins that we've committed in the past that really haunt us, that from time to time surface in our mind and weigh us down from because of our past? Well, in one essence, we have to get rid of those skeletons in our closet. And some of you may be saying, okay, Pastor, please help me get rid of these skeletons in my closet. Because we all have those type of skeletons. So what happens when those skeletons emerge in our lives? What happens when things of the past start haunting us? We have to look no further than the cross of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Because when Jesus dies on the cross, He dies on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. Not just the forgiving of that, but God Himself pays the penalty, the price, the burden of our sins. All those sins and those burdens and the weight of those sins were attached upon Jesus when He dies on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. So those skeletons that weigh us down, that slow us down in life, have all been taken care of. If I can sort of use my analogy of the spiritual closet, so to speak, it's sort of like God coming into our lives, cleaning out the skeletons of our closet, packing them in a box, putting them on the side of the curb for the trash to pick up and to take away. But our human sinful nature isn't so quickly to let go of those skeletons. It would sound kind of strange if we were to clean out our closets and say, what a great and wonderful job, and then put the junk right back in. But in one essence, that's what we do as Christians. When we say, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, but then allow the skeletons in our lives to haunt us. It's like the Christians going back down to the curb, grabbing that box marked for the garbage, bringing it back and setting up the skeletons and putting it back into the closet. It sounds ridiculous. But it drives home another point of this concept of making room for repentance. Let me go back to that Greek word. I usually don't like to spout off Greek, but for today I'm going to. Because the base of this Greek word is chore'o. And the reason why I want to name that is because e'o is a type of verb, so let me just lop that off right now and get to the real base of that, chore. Sounds like our English word, chores. You know, those responsibilities that we have in life? Those chores of cleaning out our closet, of doing the dishes, of mowing the lawn, of washing clothes, whatever it takes to sort of maintain the household, can be very demanding upon us. So it is with the making room or the chore'o of our lives for repentance. That making room in our lives is a chore for repentance. And like any major chore, sometimes we'll look at it and say, I can't do this by myself. I need help. Whether that help comes from a spouse or when that help comes from a little one saying, I need help for cleaning my room, sometimes we just get so overwhelmed with the daily chores of our lives, we need that help. Likewise, for cleaning out our spiritual closet, we can't do that by ourselves. We'd be like that little child who says, Mom, Dad, I can't clean my room. And so the Holy Spirit comes in. That Holy Spirit that was given to us when we were baptized, that Holy Spirit that works that faith within us, that Holy Spirit that encourages us to come to repentance, comes into our lives and says, I will help you. I know you like to hang on to these skeletons from time to time in your life, but let go. The Holy Spirit will help you. Another way in cleaning out a spiritual closet is with the various junk, the baggage, the other sins that we like to do, our pet sins. You know, there are some things in life, as we read the Ten Commandments, that we really don't want to get rid of. There are some sins that we almost enjoy doing. Okay, secretly we do enjoy doing it. And so we get a little lazy. We don't want to clean those out of the closet. However, the Spirit will also help us clean those out of the closet. By the way, this doesn't come by our own action. Because of our pet sins that we don't want to get rid of, because of the skeletons in our closet that we're almost enslaved to, the Holy Spirit has to help us. God needs to intervene into our lives to help us clean out our spiritual closet, and He does. God is active in our lives when we feed Him, so to speak. Let me phrase it this way. When we attach ourselves to God and allow that Holy Spirit to develop more within us. Let me explain it this way. In our spiritual closet, so to speak, of our hearts, we have our sinful human nature, and for those who believe and trust in Jesus Christ, you also have the Holy Spirit. Now, the more that we attach ourselves to God, the more that Spirit grows. The more we detach ourselves from God, the more that Spirit is weakened. We attach ourselves to God, however, as God reveals Himself through His Word. We talk about the Word of God being almost like two things. One, being Jesus Himself, as John chapter 1 describes, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. Direct reference to Jesus and His birth at Bethlehem. And the Word of God also being those pages of God's Bible. And you might be asking yourself, how can ink and paper scrambled a certain way have a spiritual impact upon me to help me clean out my spiritual closet? You see, that ink and paper, when it comes in the mail and it's classified as junk mail, doesn't do anything for you. But with God's Word, however, there's more to it. You got to remember that Word is active. That Word is powerful. We may remember from Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. When God said, let there be light, it was God's Word that said, let there be light. And guess what happened? The light came. There is power in God's Word. Where that piece of junk mail you just received in the mail, there is no power in that, and that's why you put it in the recycling bin. But if you're looking for power to change your life, power to clean out that spiritual closet, it is found in God's Word. And when God's Word is attached to plain and simple water, baptism, the Holy Spirit creates faith within the child when the child is baptized. This person is now cleaned out. Let me just go back to a moment in sort of our history. At the time of Dr. Martin Luther, back in the 1500s, he wrote a baptismal liturgy. We follow some of that today, but not all of it. And let me tell you, one of the sections that we actually omit, because it takes an awful lot to unpack it, but I'll just name it here for right now. In Martin Luther's baptismal liturgy, he goes so far to say that baptism is a point of driving out our sinful nature, driving out that devil within us, cleaning out our closet. He actually goes to the point of speaking to that evil spirit within us and says, come out and make room for the Holy Spirit. That same make room here that Peter is talking about in making room for repentance. It's kind of an interesting thought of driving out the old sinful human nature and making room for the Holy Spirit to come in. That is exactly what Peter here is talking about, to remember our baptism, to remember how God has done that with us. And again, when God's Word comes to us with bread and wine, again, for the driving out of our sinfulness, for creating that faith within us, the cleaning out of our spiritual closets, and the restoring us to the right path with God. Again, this is done by God's actions. He's the one who initiates this with our cooperation. So this day, as we come and we celebrate the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and with Peter and the other Christians, we might be saying, okay, Lord, how long? We also have to take Peter's words very carefully. We got to remember that we need to be prepared. We need to continue to attach ourselves on a daily basis to God's Word, to come to Him in prayer, to read His Word, to be strengthened by His sacraments, to grow in a closer relationship with Him, because when we don't attach ourselves to God's Word, the skeletons and the junk of our lives build up. What happens when we don't clean the house on a regular basis? The dust bunnies multiply. The junk accumulates. And we throw up our hands and saying, I can't live here anymore. It's too bad. We need the divine intervention. So every day we need to come to our Lord, and we may have to thank the Lord for each day and saying, Lord, thank you for giving me this day as a gift. Help me to attach myself to your word so that I am prepared when you will come again. We don't know the day or the hour, but we do know he is coming. So we ask the Lord for that grace, that forgiveness of sins, the strengthening of our faith, to help us to clean out our spiritual closets so that we can be prepared to enter with Him into our new heavenly home. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.